punishment, this shows we've not fully experienced his perfect love. That's the difference, isn't it? That word perfect. You know, I love my wife, but not perfectly, because I'm not perfect. And I disappoint her sometimes. And I fail. And I still love her, but my love is not perfect. The word perfect means it lacks nothing for completeness. It lacks nothing for completeness. God makes you complete, not another person. God not only has it, he wants you to know what it does. God has and gives perfect love. And he says that here's what perfect love does, not just that God is that and shows us what that looks like. He says perfect love does something. It drives out fear. Only God loves perfectly. Only God can drive out all fear. You might get over a few things on your own. You say, you know, I'm no longer afraid of that. But only God drives out all fear. Knowing the way God loves us drives out all fear. You know, it should. I want you to think about your relationships that you have. And you make yourself vulnerable in life with people, don't you? And when you love people, you are opening up to them and you make yourself vulnerable to them. You share things about yourself. You share things maybe you're guilty of or ashamed of or that you failed at or your desires that you have or wishes that you wish were different. And you make yourself vulnerable, but you still have fear. And even those earthly relationships we have, they're not perfect in those because it's not a perfect love. Because we're not sure if this person will love us back the same way. And so maybe we hold back. But here's the difference with us and God. When you make yourself vulnerable to God, we don't have and we shouldn't have that same fear because we should already know how God loves us. God always loves us more than we will ever be able to love him. Because God's love is perfect. The Bible says, why we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so what do we find Jesus doing? We find Jesus conquering fear with love. For us, as he went to the cross. What does perfect love look like? Perfect love looks like the cross. Perfect love is Jesus taking our place while we lived as his enemy, being the propitiation for our sin, our payment, our covering. Go to 1 John chapter 4 in this book and look at verse 10. In this love, not that we've loved God, but that God has loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. He says, not only for us, he didn't just do that for us, but for the sins of the entire world. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He says, he's the propitiation for our sin, not just for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. But you've heard a story. When else have you heard this story about a hero dying for the villain? That's just not how we do it. We love people when others love us back. We love when it's convenient. We love when it benefits us. And sometimes we act like God and we love strangers, but not perfectly. Only God does that. You know, this perfect love, it's not just in God, but watch this. John says this. This is an amazing thing out of this book. He says something four times about perfect love. It is perfected in us. Go to chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. And that's a curious thing to me. How is God's love perfected in us? He says in verse 12, no one has ever seen God. That's our faith, right? We haven't seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. How is His love perfected in us? John tells us. He says, go to chapter 2, verse 5. He says it again. Whoever keeps His word in Him, truly, the love of God is perfected. I don't know about you, but I hope you're staying in the Word. It's where you learn what love looks like. Those who stay in the Word show what perfect love looks like because they're learning what it is, what it does. Love is a verb. It's a belief that leads you to do. It is faith. He says we're perfected in love if His love abides in us. That's a curious word. I want you to think about this word. When I wrote this and it searched for the answer, they wanted me to answer with that lesson. Can we truly overcome our fear? I never planned on talking about the word abide. But every time I turn to another verse in this book, there it is again. There it is again. And I started highlighting abide, 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 14, 15, 16, 17 times. Chapter after chapter, John just keeps adding this word. And I could no longer ignore it, and I had to look at it and say, why does that continue to come up? What does that have to do with perfect love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 again. But this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. How does His love abide in us? If you follow this back up, you find John telling us that we should love one another. Go back to chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love is perfected in us. Go to chapter 4. Go back up to verse 7. He says it again. Beloved, let us not love one another. Love's from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And he continues. We could spend the day reading this whole book because he continues to address a love that abides in us when we love each other. I hope you heard that. God is able to make perfect love seen when we love others. But what you do has to be seen to show perfect love. How do we love one another? How do I even know what that looks like? You know, I think we do that by this very word he mentions over and over and over again. We do that by abiding in Him. We don't use this word much. John uses it 17 times in this very short book. But the word abide, it's at the center of conquering your fear. You know, when you are afraid, think about this. If you're a little kid and you're afraid, where do you go? When my kids get afraid of something, maybe it's irrational, maybe their sister had scared them of something, where do they go immediately? Maybe it's the middle of the night and they heard something. And in the dark, where do they go? You ran to a parent, didn't you? You ran to a protector and you stayed with them until you felt safe, until you felt unafraid. You abided with them. You know, we do that with God. When we walk through the fire, He says, I will be with you. You know, we're afraid people will leave us. And sometimes they do. But God says, you will have to leave me. You remember the story Jesus tells of the prodigal son. And he says, you are going to have to leave the father's house if you want to get away from the father. You're going to have to go and take what you want to do and go to a faraway place if you want to get away from my love. That's how far you need to go because I'm not going anywhere. abiding in God is where he tells us to stay. It's the truth he talks about in the first three chapters. He said, abide in it. Stay in it. Stay close to God and you drive away all fear. And he says, God's love is perfected in us as we love others when we abide in him. When we let him live with us. What an amazing idea that we don't just have to go find the Father. The Father says, I'm not just going to have you come find me when you're afraid. He says, I'm going to do more than that. We have the word tabernacle. I'm going to literally build a dwelling place for God's Spirit, and God will move in. Look at this list of things that we have in the book of 1 John that happen when we abide in him. Go back to chapter 2, verse 1, he says, we walk like Jesus when we abide in him. Chapter 2, verse 9, he says, we love his brother when you abide in him. Chapter 2, verse 27, he says, we are taught by the truth of God. Chapter 2, verse 28, let's read that one in entirety. He says, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame of his coming. Here's the other part of abiding in him. If we abide in him, we find confidence when God returns. We're not shrinking back in shame or fear. We've been perfected in love because we are found abiding in him. If one of my children is away from me and I've told them to stay with me and then I have to go find them and they're ashamed of what they're doing when I find them, they're afraid of what will happen from the Father because I had to go find them and they weren't abiding in me, that's a very different situation than if they had stayed with me and abided with me and be found in me. There's no fear there. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's perfect love. He says it again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, also we are in this world. That's what perfect love does. If we're abiding in him, we have no fear when he returns. We're ready. That's what perfect love does. It removes all fear. It removes this fear of the future because perfect love says your future is secure. Fear over failure because perfect love says with God we're guaranteed victory. It removes the fear over rejection because perfect love says God is with you and wants us no matter what. It removes the fear of not being in charge because perfect love says that we submit to a loving and perfect God. It removes this fear of confusion because perfect love says God never leaves us wondering if he loves us. It removes the fear of God returning and us not being ready yet because perfect love says we can't wait. Maybe we're not saved. Maybe we're not really following. Maybe we haven't let God move in. I don't know where your fear comes from. But when God moves in, he brings something with him. He can't help it. It's who he is. It is his very self. He is love. And that perfect love, it leads us to love people we hate. People that persecute you and more. And his perfect love, it drives out all fear. But he also brings something else. And this is a part of his nature as well. It says he brings his spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, talks about the spirit that he brings. The spirit that God is. He says God is spirit. And God has not given you, he says to Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. What a powerful spirit that God says lives in you when you abide in God. But we're not often listening to that Spirit of God. We're often listening to the flesh, the other side that's at war with the Spirit. The flesh, think about this, fears. All right? I want you to remember what John said fear has to do with what? Chapter 4, verse 18, he says it has to do with punishment. You know, that's the flesh. That's its problem. It's always afraid of getting caught, of being in trouble. It's afraid of disappointing other people. But that is not God in you. That is the flesh. His Spirit that He put in you, He says, fears nothing. The Spirit of God that lives in you fears nothing. When we talk about sin, and we feel so powerless because we are powerless. The Bible says the flesh is weak, but the Spirit of God is powerful. Stop focusing on your sin and start seeing and relying on the powerful Spirit of God who lives in you, works through you, and is not afraid of anything. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Paul writes this. He says, before, when you didn't know God, you were enslaved to those that by that nature are not God's. But now you've come to know God, and rather be known by God. How can you turn your back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world who slaves you once more? Why do we return to that, he says? When you've found something that drives out fear, when you've discovered and seen and experienced what perfect love is, why are we going back to fear when we're filled with the power of God that fears nothing? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 says, but we're not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith. It preserved their soul. Finally, we end this way in 1 John chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. God wants you to see the love that He's given to you. The love that we give to our children, he says, I'm going to compare to that. Chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God. You've overcome them, for he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. God intends for us to be his, in his family, and overcome fear with perfect love. I don't know what, as a parent, you want for your kids. There's probably a list of things. But one of the things on my list is I don't want my kids to be afraid. And I tell them that. You have nothing to be afraid of because I am going to protect you. Do you do that with your kids? And God wants you to realize that about Him. I don't know if I can deliver on that promise. There are times when I might be afraid and they might be afraid and I cannot take away their fear. God is not a God who promises, don't be afraid. He's not a God that says that over and over and over in the Bible because He can't deliver on that promise. He says it because He can do it. And He's the only one that makes you that promise that delivers that. Do not fear. In Matthew chapter 17, we find Jesus on a mountain being transfigured. And you see the few that he brought up with him, the three that were with him, watching this scene. And they go through that scene and see the glory of God. There's an interesting verse at the end of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 8. And after they had gone through that experience with Jesus, Jesus tells them something. He says, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Their fear was gone. And they saw the one who loved them perfectly. I don't know where you are with your fear tonight. I don't know what it is stopping you from doing for God. But God has called you to be powerful and fearless. And He says, "I'm going to give you the way to do that through my perfect love that drives out fear." Maybe that's where you need to hear tonight. That God has a love for you that you need to conquer these things in your life that cripple you in your faith. The world needs you to share that kind of love with them. Maybe you've yet to follow God at all, and tonight is the night where you begin to do that. Maybe you just need prayers for something that you're going through tonight, and you would like us to pray on your behalf. I don't know what you're waiting on, but if God is able to help you tonight, God is waiting. Why are you? Please come as we stand and sing.